They are not intrigued by what we want from them. They really want to know what we want for them. And what I hear you saying is like depth of relationship and like a real intentional effort to develop them in the ways that they need, just not just in the ways that we maybe want to or are comfortable with. Well, hey everyone, welcome to season 3 of the Intentional Churches podcast. My name is Erin Johnston, and I just want to be the first to welcome you. If you're a new listener, thanks for jumping in with us. And if you have listened with us along the way, thanks for coming back and listening in with us again. This podcast exists to help church leaders just really kind of look under the hood and figure out how are we going to mobilize? How are we going to activate the people in our churches? And this season, particularly season 3, we are kind of diving into the questions that church leaders are asking. If you've been a church leader for even 5 minutes, you know that we have way more questions oftentimes than answers. Being a church leader is no joke, especially in this day and age. And so each episode, we're going to just try to tackle a different question that church leaders are facing or that church leaders are asking. And so today I have with me my good friend, Doug Parks from Intentional Churches. Hi, Doug.
Hey, everybody. Hey, Erin. How are you?
Good. Thank you. Good to be with you. And we also have our friend Kristen Miller from Leadership Pathway. Hello, Kristen.
Hi there.
Good to be with you. Hey, Kristen, would you just go ahead and just briefly introduce yourself for our listeners? Just tell them who you are, what you do, what you're up to these days.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I live in Tacoma, Washington, to be near my grandson. My husband and I started Leadership Pathway about 7 years ago. And really, I would say it stems from both of us having been in ministry and really being around the local church all of our adult lives. My husband even spent a time period where he was doing staffing specifically for churches and did over 100 searches and, wow, thousands of interviews. And always the question was, can you help me find the next youth pastor, children's director, worship leader? And everybody was looking, maybe not always advertising at that time. And so we had a moment where we had in 2012 an opportunity to help a small Christian college in Omaha really kind of reorient them and spend 4 years helping recruit students for 2 years on campus, serving locally, regionally, intentionally with those churches, and then 2 years off taking classes online, but being submerged in a church, learning, you know, really their protocol, their best practices. And so by the time graduation happened for a lot of these young people, they had multiple job offers, certainly the churches where they served. And we really thought, gosh, we need to like help this scale across the country. And so that's really when Leadership Pathway began. And I think too, like even back when both of us were graduating from Bible college, just that chasm, that gap between when we graduated and then jumping into ministry, there just is so much more to help. And so that's really why we're passionate about that. And so we work with churches with a 2-year proven plan so they don't have to reinvent the wheel. They can do their regular jobs, but also have a resident. And ultimately, it builds a leadership pipeline.
That's
so
awesome.
That's what I've been up to. Yeah.
Yes. So good. That's amazing. The question we're really going to kind of roll up our sleeves and get into today is like, what is this next generation of people kind of up and coming? What are they looking for when they're thinking about working in ministry or working in church? And kind of alongside that, how do our staffs, how do our churches become places of development for these young leaders? And so we're really going to dive into that. Kristen, I think you and your experience with Leadership Pathway can really help us get there. For any of our new listeners, I want to make sure that our good friend Doug Parks gets to do like, Doug, you get like a 10-second intro. Just remind people, for those that maybe don't know who you are, Doug, who are you and what are you up to?
Thanks, Erin. Yeah, I am the leader of Intentional Churches, co-founder of Intentional Churches, and been doing that now for quite a while as a former executive pastor at our church here in Vegas, Canyon Ridge Christian Church. And, you know, we are all over the country with church teams. I just got back last night from being with a team of 12 in the Louisville area. And so we're just picking up all kinds of learnings about really a seismic shift in where the church is heading around things like what Kristen and Leadership Pathway do because of the generational shift of the millennial is now becoming the primary church leader over the next few years in the local church. Gen Z is emerging. And it is, we believe, and we're seeing it firsthand, it is a seismic shift in the way we need to think about staffing and leading a local church now. So, and I did want to say, Aaron, I am fired up about season three, because I think as I'm traveling, there are a lot of questions that are getting asked in a different way than were at, by church leaders than were asked when I was more involved, you know, 15, 20 years ago leading a local church. I just think there's a new curiosity about doing church differently in this season. So fired up about season three.
I love it. Well, we could talk, probably we could spend an entire season talking about development and staffing and where to find people. And we will definitely spend a couple episodes kind of rolling up our sleeves and talking about the future of church leadership. But Kristen, I want to toss it to you for just a minute. When you think about this next generation of leader, you know, really Gen Z, those that are kind of up and coming, those that are in college or maybe even in high school right now, and they're thinking about church leadership into the future, what are they looking for? What are they? I think we often know what we are looking for as church leaders. I'm sure many of our audience can resonate. You know, we know what we want, we know what we need, but what are those, that next generation of church leaders, what are they looking for?
You know, so there's something about, well, first of all, I would say they are really looking to come alongside you. They, in some ways, Gen Z doesn't necessarily want to stand out, but they still want to reach their peers. They still want to, you know, share Christ. And so they want to come alongside your team. They feel like they have something to contribute. And honestly, we can look across any generation. When you graduate, you think you know a lot. So there is a version of that always, right? Nothing is changed in that regard. But they do have things to share. And so I think the biggest thing, they are looking to be alongside you. They want that mentorship, that intentional development. And so I think one thing that often happens is that leaders tend to train people or develop in the way that they prefer. So there's a bias, right? Like if you are not a person who's hands-on because you've learned, I like to be able to do my thing and then have someone come and look at it. You have to realize when you're new and green and have had no experience, you have to be more prescriptive. You have to guide them a little bit more. And I think that's where the irritation starts. And but if you're willing to do that, it just goes so far. And the other thing is they really want to relationally know you and you know them. And consider for the fact that I think Dr. Tim Elmore, who's in the educational space, he talks about Gen Z being the most anxious generation. So yes, they've gone through COVID, they're digital natives. The actual interaction with real people face-to-face is a challenge for them. Mm-hmm. And you are pros at it as church leaders. You need to help them and you model it and you show them, I'm interested in you. I see this potential in you and let's work on that. Let's help you thrive and succeed. That's what Gen Z that I encounter are really looking for. They need you.
Yeah.
And yeah. Nothing else matters than that, yeah, really.
That's really good. The way I've heard someone frame it before is like, we have to approach this next generation not, they are not intrigued by what we want from them because there are so many options of places they can go and things they can do and work that can be done. They really want to know what we want for them. And what I hear you saying is like depth of relationship and like a real intentional effort to develop them in the ways that they need, just not just in the ways that we maybe want to or are comfortable with. Doug, for you, as you kind of bring a national perspective, what are you seeing in kind of this next up and coming generation of church leaders? What are you noticing?
Some of the stuff that Kristen mentioned for sure, but we were privileged enough not too long ago to do a focus group with some primarily millennial up and coming church leaders. And not shockingly, a lot of the feedback, there were three main points. They wanted to live a life that was more balanced than they saw the Gen Xers and boomers lead in church leadership. Mm-hmm. The underpinning, sorry for all us Gen Xers and boomers, was we don't want to blow up our life like we've seen a lot of other church leaders do as we were growing up. They wanted to have a great team that they were collaborating with and doing stuff together with. And then, yes, they wanted to grow their church in a healthy way that was biblically based. And we can get into all the arguments about all the model talk over the last 20 years of the tractional missionals, at the core, the message was, we feel called to ministry because we want to grow our church and help our community and reach people for Christ. So I'm curious, Kristen, like, is that still true of Gen Z? Because that was a group of millennials, probably 30 to 35 millennial church leaders. Is Gen Z going to be similar to that, like, kind of priority list, or are they going to be different?
I mean, I think, yes, similar, but I think there's also this thing that I'm trying to wrap my brain totally around is, like, work for them is a hobby. They want to make their hobbies into work. And so I think they're going to push the envelope a little bit on this. I think by all means, as believers, yes, they want their peers to know Jesus, but how they do it might be a little different. And I think we have so much to learn from them as much as they had to learn from us. And I think that's really key, that two-way streak of realizing that they've got things to offer and contribute today. And we need to listen. And we need to say, that's a good idea and let's try it. And not, you know, withhold that opportunity from them.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a millennial church leader, and I agree with the list that you read, Doug. I just, like, feel that in my bones. And at the place that I lead, we have a lot of Gen Z emerging leaders. And I would say what you just talked about, Kristen, of work as a hobby is a real thing. And also, it's important to note, many, many millennial church leaders and Gen Z church leaders, they all have a side gig. Everybody's got a side gig. And I'm sure many of our listeners are encountering that. With people on their staffs, like, they work here and they've got this thing on the side that's a hobby, but that they're kind of monetizing. And so I just think that's something to be watching for and listening for. Yeah.
I think that's super insightful. And I'm going to speak just for a minute to our listeners who are more in Gen X. You know, we're the survivors. We've actually been named now. We're not generic X. We are the survivors.
All right. Well done. Surviving.
Thank you. Yes, we survived. We are the great deconstructionists. Like, we try to tear down everything that our parents built in church leadership. And I was speak to the Gen X leaders and the boomers for a minute. What Aaron just shared, what Chris is sharing about work as a hobby, we have to, like, set that aside, because that just makes the hair on the back of the neck of boomer leaders and Gen X leaders stand up and, like,
yes.
and then we got to stay away from this negativity about complaining about the generation. I really want to challenge our listeners, like, we got to get in the boat and figure this out. We all are going to hand off. Gen Z and the millennials will eventually have to hand off the local church to a different generation than them. And I feel like I just want to challenge our my age group and older, we have to do the same. We've got to hand this thing off. So instead of complaining about it being negative, let's listen, figure out, and get in the boat. And oh, by the way, one of the things I didn't mention that millennials said was true, they want to be mentored by somebody older. Mm-hmm. They want to be mentored. I'm not sure that's always been true of my generation and older at times.
Yeah, that's great insight, Doug. I want to kind of shift our conversation to, you both have touched on it, but just this idea of our churches, whether that's our staff or whether we have a large amount of volunteers or whatever the case might be, being really a culture of mentorship and development. Kristen, when you think of young leaders that you work with today, what are the types of things that you see need developed? I know you guys have some soft skills you work on. Would you just speak to that for a minute? What are the types of things you're looking for? And for any of our listeners, like, what are the things that they should be looking for to develop in this next generation of leaders?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do hyper-focus on soft skills. And I think the reason we say that is there's an equal focus on biblical education. Like, you need to know the accuracy of the Bible. If you're going to be teaching children and students, like, you need to know that. And you also need to have spiritual formation where you are abiding in Christ, thriving and growing in community and with Him daily. So those two things we consider like a three-rail process. Those are two rails. Soft skills is the third one, and we hyper-focus on it primarily because it is often something you can't read in a textbook and get it, you know, or can't go to a conference and suddenly you know it. It's something you have to learn one-on-one in these conversations with a leader. And so, so some of those soft skills include like time management, managing details, conflict management, taking initiative, whether that's taking more initiative or, you know, slowing down a bit, you know, not being too assertive. I think I was one of those.
A young leader taking too much initiative? Oh my goodness. Wow. I think I'm guilty of that for many years. Sorry, I interrupted you. Keep going.
No, not at all. Yeah. So like learning how to be flexible, to learn how to lead a meeting. I mean, let's not assume that everyone knows how to do that. And so like using those soft skills and using the you watch, I do, you help, and now you start to do and I'm helping. And so that process has to happen. It can't be instantly, hey, there's a gap or you want to do this, go do it. Go figure it out. Now that's the old school way. Like many of us were not developed intentionally. We might have had someone who spoke some great words into us, but most of us didn't have this plan. We jumped in the deep end and we somehow started to doggy paddle or swim, I guess, you know, and meanwhile, a lot of peers sank. And so if this just really needs to be done better. And I think this is why Gen Z is going to hold us accountable to it. They are healthier in their boundaries. They want, you know, clear instruction. And I think they're going to fix some things that some of us created.
Yeah,
so
that's really good.
Yeah.
What I appreciate about what Leadership Pathway does is it's really very developmental in every way, because you have to be thinking as a church leader, not just about the new leaders that are stepping into your staff or the Gen Z leaders that are joining, or even millennial leaders that are joining your team, but also how are you developing the developers on your team? Like at every level of our teams, we should be developing. And even we ourselves as church leaders, like we in our own walk and our own leadership, innovation and development has to continue to be at the forefront. We need to develop those that develop others. And so Leadership Pathway, I love that you, you as an organization, you don't even meet with the resident themselves very often. You meet with those who are coaching the resident to develop to develop someone else. So it's just very generational, which is what I appreciate.
Can I give a quick example?
Yeah,
Aaron?
Please do.
We have a church leader who is a family pastor. Love this person. He is amazing. But for the past three meetings that I'm supposed to have with him, he's missed them because he's like not paying attention to his calendar. And so this is pressing upon him. Like he's supposed to help his resident be self-aware, and he's got to learn to use his calendar in a way that's going to translate for his resident. So everyone sharpens when they have to have someone, you know, who's looking to them. They're supposed to help develop them. And it means you got to up your game too. So I totally concur with what you're saying.
Yeah, that's so good. Doug, what are you seeing when you enter this conversation of maybe just tell us a story or give us an example of churches that you see doing development really well, like thinking about development for the next generation of leader, but even their current leaders that are kind of emerging as developers of others? Who are you seeing or what are you seeing that's working really well for this?
Well, it is a flip from how we've basically all lived the last 20 years, 30 years, whatever, the church growth movement. And somehow in there, we all became addicted. Maybe that's not the right word, but it feels like it. Addicted to speed, the word innovation. We use the language inside of Intentional Churches, the silver bullet mentality. Like we're just on the hunt for fast microwave solutions. So the churches we see that are really making headway, especially when they have somebody like Leadership Pathway along, they're coming to understand to take the long view. Instead of thinking about who can we hire by the next fall, they're thinking 20 years from now. And that long view then allows you to back up and say, what are the things I would do developmentally to be there? One of the examples would be, I believe the very starting point of development really is in the invitation personally and relationally. It's not in advertisements and, you know, like from the stage driven. It is a personal invitation from someone who has an intent to develop and to develop someone and speaking into the future of a younger leader. So, Aaron and Kristen, that's what I would say. Like it is, we got to have a long view. We got to break our habits of, you know, silver bullet mentality and really get back to the basic blocking and tackling of development that somewhere went away in this last run. So we see churches that are making headway here are really beginning to build a pool of future leaders, but it took 2-3 years from the conviction to start producing the fruit that they were actually looking for in their ministry.
Yeah, that's, man, playing the long game. I'm sure our listeners are like, ugh, but the long game takes so long.
I know.
Yeah.
But it's true. It's true. Kristen, you have anything you want to add to that?
Yeah. I mean, like for us, we always think a 2-year process with a young leader for the sake of that rotation of 2 Easters, 2 Christmases, 2 summers. But what's happening in the midst of those 2 years, that second year, the reality is more trust has been earned. This young leader has had more responsibilities. He or she's taking on more, to where really the ROI, the return on investment, is beginning even in that second year. And then what's happening in the midst of that? Your church is noticing, whether it's a middle school kid, a high school student, or a second career person, they're saying, huh, I wonder if I could do that. I wonder. And so suddenly this infectious culture starts to happen. So yeah, it feels like it's long, I get it, but there's like simultaneous things happening. And I think the multiplicative effect begins.
Yeah, I just want to speak to, just from some personal experience on this for a minute. We've had a couple interns and residents at the church where I'm at. And when I first encountered Kristen, she said, 2 years. And I was like, really? Like we had one individual and I was like, I feel like I know this guy. Like and I love this guy. He's actually about to join our staff. But I told Kristen, I said, he seems great. And she said, yes, 2 years. And man, she was right, because about 6 months in, the wheels started to fall off. And she kind of said, we see this in many residents, in many young leaders, the wheels start to fall off, not in a bad way. They just need coaching. They need guidance. They kind of, what's really inside begins to emerge. And I'm so grateful when we play the long game, we give space for those things to emerge in young leaders rather than them exploding 20 years later because they never dealt with that stuff. And so speaking from experience, Leadership Pathway was right. So, yeah.
I think I would add that, you know, the long game isn't bad. Mm-hmm. Part of the reason I believe we're in a staffing, church leader staffing crisis in America right now. Yes. There just are not. The Bible colleges are dying. The financial model of the Bible colleges and the camps that used to be one of the major, couple of major pipelines has really dried up. And so, you know, part of how we got in this predicament, I believe, we weren't taking the long view. Mm-hmm. We weren't taking the develop. We got out of some of the basics of mentorship, discipleship, church leadership that many of us benefited from. We stopped doing because we were running at such speed. So I want to make sure we hear church leader, we just have to change our mentality. The long game is going to be great. One of the things I'm curious about, Kristen, and I wonder this because as I travel, I hear confusion over the differences in terminology, residency and internship, and the true residencies that are producing are primarily what I've seen in very large churches like CCV in Phoenix, Central in Vegas. They just have massive programs around and structure around producing residents. But I'll be on the road and I'll hear somebody say residency. In my definition, they really mean an internship. And so what is the differentiation between those two terms?
Yeah. Well, we consider an internship to be a shorter term, whether it's a summer, 6 months, 9 months, maybe even a year. The reality is with an internship, there is that short term of getting things done. Maybe you're learning some hands-on ministry practices, but there's a level of which the leader doesn't have to dig down deep and expose those hard things, like the stuff that Aaron was just sharing, you know, like when the wheels come off, because there's a sense of, okay, well, they're going to be gone in 3 months. So, you know, we'll just let that fly. But when you have a residency, we think of hospital terms, a resident in medical, they are intent. Like they've done the schooling. Now they're going to be beside the doctor learning hands-on what's going to happen. In fact, you're going to experience a few flaws and mistakes, but the surgeon's right there or the doctor's right there. The same principle is with residency. It's not so much what you can do for me, but you know, how can we give to you? So wanting more for them from them, as Aaron mentioned, really is the intent of residency. And so it's not a gap year like, you know, some of the programs that we know of that are great. The idea is, no, this is the path to get you into ministry. You're going to experience it. You're going to be part of our staff, but you're going to be resident. And with that, there's that intent of you're a little rough around the edges. So we have to kind of communicate that to the staff. Don't have the same expectations, but over time, you're shaping that person to be a staff member, you know, full-time ministry church leader.
That's awesome.
Does that clarify it? Yeah.
It does. Yeah, it really does.
Yeah, that's really helpful. So for the people that are listening and they're wondering, okay, so, you know, we want to invest in the next generation of church leader. We care about this, or maybe they're even listening to this realizing, man, we need to start caring about this. One of the things I love about this podcast is we're really trying to drive to just some practical next steps that any listener, any church leader can take. And so what are some practical next steps in this direction? Doug, I would love to throw it to you first. You know, you said the long game is not bad. And so what is the question that a church leader should be asking, or what is the thing that they should be kind of reflecting on if they're going to shift to thinking about the long game in terms of development? What would you offer to that listener?
Well, two things come to mind. One is that this sounds like a big investment of time, money, and energy and attention. And so I would ask a church leader, what would have to be true for you to get over the hump of what it's going to take from you to realize the benefit? So what has to change in your own life, leader, that you can see, I need to make this investment, even though it does cost a lot in terms of time, money, energy, and attention? But the second very pragmatic thing that I think we have to get back to and ask ourselves, what are we doing in our youth ministry to call kids back to full-time Christian ministry? Because somewhere it just seems like that went away. So if I were pragmatically coaching a church, I would say that would be an area I would start in right away. It doesn't cost as much. It just requires some strategic thought around how do we build this into our developmental process in our high school students, especially.
Whew, those are good. Those are good. Kristen, for you, what would you say to a listener or a church leader that just kind of trying to start on the direction of really being a place of development for future church leaders?
Yeah. I would say, first of all, you can't not do this. Mm-hmm. You have to start. And because what happens if you don't? We don't have leaders for a generation or two, and we can't afford that. So I hope that, you know, lights a fire a little bit under you to like, go do it. And I think our primary thing we tell people is just start, which means like you might have to re-engineer it. And I would say we do that every year. We you know, flex and try to adjust as needed. And so for that development, I think it's just so contagious when you take one person that you see some potential in, and like Doug said, you acknowledge that to them. You say, I see this in you, and would you consider? And then you spend some intentional time showing, having them help, talk and evaluate, debrief. You know, don't just say, I assume you know. No. You do all those little things, and it just begins to bear fruit with whomever you're investing in, and others are watching, staff, your church members, they're watching, and they want to be a part of that too, whether it's volunteer development, staff development, whatever. It becomes a flame that grows.
That's awesome. Well, thank you both. This has been a really helpful conversation. Listeners, my encouragement to you would be to take some of these questions, to take some of these thoughts that both Doug and Kristen have offered, and really reflect, like, how are our student ministries helping create a space for future church leaders? How are we just going to get in the boat and do the thing? How are we going to make space and time for this? How are we going to invite someone to that really kind of life on life development? Guys, it's been fun. Kristen, thanks for hanging out today with us. Appreciate you
and all the
great work that Leadership Pathway does. Mm-hmm. And listeners, thanks for tuning in to Season 3, Episode 1 of the Intentional Churches podcast. We'll see you next time.